We're continuing our study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read the first 7 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The word holiness and the word sanctification are the same word. They are the same Greek word. Sanctification has to do with being set apart. The priests that ministered in the temple were sanctified, or they sanctified themselves in preparation for ministry. We sanctify ourselves for fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by confession of sin. And we also do that by abstaining from the sins of the flesh. I think it's sort of shocking when we read in verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification or holiness, that you should abstain from fornication. Why would he just, come out with such a horrible sin? Well, I think that what he is doing is reminding those at Thessalonica, as well as you and I, it's the sins of the flesh that cause us not to be separated unto the Lord and to be holy. I think last week we talked a little bit about the will of the Lord or the will of God, and I want to just touch on that a little bit by way of review. We all should have a desire to do God's will. And there are times when we struggle with the will of God. I think the things that we struggle as far as the will of God is concerned is whether we should go to this mission field or whether we should be a preacher or a missionary. But I think that in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, will help us to see how God will lead us and guide us to know His will. First of all, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. If we will take care of being a living sacrifice, being clean, and trying to do those things that are well-pleasing, like controlling our appetite for the things of the flesh, the will of God will be revealed to us. We will know what the will of God for our lives are. It's a very simple thing. God does not want us to live in sin. That is the will of God. Don't live in sin. Now, there are times when we have to make some changes. And that's the reason why we get together for fellowship in the Word, so we can hear the Word of God, so that the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts, so that He can say, here is a place in your life that needs changing and correction. And this changing and correction needs to go on inside the heart, inside the body. It's very easy for you to fool me by looking well here on Sunday morning, and I don't know what you've been doing all week, but the Lord does. So the outward change, that's what Satan can do. He changes outwardly. And the false teacher changes outwardly. He looks okay. But God wants us to change inwardly, and then the outward will take care of itself. In verse 2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." This word transformed comes from the Greek word from which we get metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is the change, like a caterpillar goes through metamorphosis and becomes a butterfly. And so God wants us to go from a worm to something beautiful. And we do that from the inside. It takes renewing of the mind. We have to change our thinking. If we don't change our thinking, there will be no change. And we need to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word prove there can also be translated tried, to test it. You've heard of spiritual gifts. I'm not talking about the sign gifts. I'm talking about the help gifts. The gifts that have to do with giving and administration and encouragement and teaching gifts. And the way you prove, let me just say this, the way I prove that God had given me the gift of teaching is to try teaching someone. And if the guy would have told me, or if my Sunday school class says, "We thank you for teaching us this Sunday, and we're looking for somebody else next Sunday," then I would know that that's not what the Lord would have me to do. But you have to try. You have to experiment with the will of God. And there's nothing wrong with failing. There's not a thing wrong with that at all. We all failed as children. All you have to do is just see a little toddler trying to walk. And how many times does he fail before he is able to, where you can't catch him? He's running all over the house. But anyway, we need to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the way that we do that is through His Word. The Word of God helps us to prove and to test the will of God. We need to do the will of God, not as pleasing others. In Ephesians 6:6 it says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart." This is what pleases God. Now, we know that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for the sins of the world because it was the will of the Father for Him to do that. And John 4:34 tells us that Jesus said unto Him, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That was Jesus' example to you and to me. He came to do His will, and He did it. And He came to finish. That's part of the will of God for you and for me. We need to finish our race. Not do the will of God for a while and then quit. We need to finish our continually, faithfully doing the will of God. One of the part of the will of God for us is to be delivered from the world. In Galatians 1:4 it says, "Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." To be delivered from this present evil world is mean that we're not going to have persecution or trial or testing. It doesn't mean that God's going to take us into heaven as soon as we're saved. It just means that we don't have to be defiled by the world. We do not have to be overcome by the things that the world offers. In fact, I think it's Luke 15:16 tells us that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. If you want to know what's an abomination or not the will of God, is that you see what man is groping and striving for and you avoid that. What man thinks highly thinks of, what the human system emphasizes, is an abomination to God. Okay. Now, there's another passage of Scripture that talks about the will of God in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think that we need to appreciate the fact that we can't give thanks for everything. There are events in people's lives that we don't that they don't like, and I don't like. But I don't have to thank God for cancer. I don't have to thank God for injuries. But I can thank God in the situation and circumstance that I can't control and that I can't change. I can thank God in those circumstances, and it pleases Him to do that. There are times when things happen to us that we cannot control, but we still can thank God that He is in charge and that He will provide us the peace and the strength to sustain us in that time. Another thing about doing the will of God is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For we have need of patience or endurance, that after we've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We need to endure. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with salvation at all. We don't endure to be saved. Our salvation comes through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This promise here has to do with the blessings in the coming kingdom. This has to do with the blessings that we will receive because we have been enduring and doing the will of God. Patiently doing it. Continuing in it. Now, sanctification. Sanctification is a word that is really also translated holiness. It has the idea of separation. And of course, this is the will of God, even our sanctification. We find this word again in verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Possessing our vessel has to do with self-control. We have to learn self-control. We have to learn how to behave ourselves. We know what we can do and what will cause us to fail and what will encourage us to continue faithful in the Lord. And self-control, by avoiding those things that would cause us to stumble and to fall. And we need to do that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, and the word iniquity, by the way, is the word lawlessness. He says, I want you, now, yield your members servants to righteousness, leading unto sanctification or holiness. Notice that yielding your members, these are your vessels. We need to control our vessel. And we yield our members, servants, to that which is right, doing those things which are pleasing in His sight. That's the reason why it takes the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that we find out those things that are pleasing to Him. Let me just emphasize the fact that just as we can move in the right direction, we can move in the wrong direction too. Just being saved does not mean that you're going to live a holy life. There are people today that say that if you don't live right, you never were saved. Well, that is error. That is not the truth of the Word of God. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Word of God says you're saved. Now, you may not behave yourself as a child of God. You may do wrong, but that doesn't change your salvation. And we will look at that in just a moment. Well, let me just share this with you. I don't know whether you've heard just recently a report on the DNA examination of Thomas Jefferson. Have you heard that? I checked on the internet last night, and they had a report on there that about the DNA of his descendants. He had a slave girl or woman. Her name was Sally Hemings, and there are those that Negroes that believe they are descendants of Thomas Jefferson. And they did some DNA testing upon Thomas Jefferson and his descendants. And in the article on the internet, you are able to see the DNA characters. They had them printed out. Well, history has tried to show that it was Thomas Jefferson's nephews that bore children with Sally. But the DNA testing shows entirely different. It's laid out there numerically, and you can see. It is really neat to see that. Well, you know what? When you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in the family. And it doesn't, and decomposition of the body does not change that ever. There are people today that believe that you can become a child of God and have the DNA of heaven, and then by some evil thing you have done that you change all that DNA. Well, that's not true. Once you become a child of God, you're always a child of God, and you can never change that. It's just like the descendants of Thomas Jefferson. The male chromosome, the Y chromosomes of the male descendants of Thomas Jefferson have his fingerprint on them. And it has not changed for 200 years. That fingerprint is still in his descendants. Well, we just need to appreciate the fact that just because we don't behave as God would have us to behave, we lose our position in the family. That just does not happen. Now, like I said before, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 sort of shocks us when it says, "The will of God is our holiness, and that we should abstain from fornication." I want to read from, and by the way, fornication is one of the sins of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, many people think that if you do not inherit the kingdom of God, you're lost. That's not true. It just simply means that you have been disinherited. People in the family, have you ever heard of anybody in the family being disinherited? Well, I have experienced that. I have been disinherited by my father's side of the family because he had a new family. And so I was left out. But in God's family, we can be disinherited. And it's usually people that are left out of someone's will is because of something they had done, they did to them. In other words, they were offended somehow or another. And let me tell you, when you live a life that's not pleasing to God, you're offending Him. And you don't lose your salvation, you don't lose your place in the you don't lose your the fact that you're in the family, you just are not going to get an inheritance. Now, what is an inheritance? Well, let me just establish salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We have to be born into the family of God if we expect the blessings of God and to be able to see His coming kingdom. And the way of salvation is in Acts 16:31. It's simple and plain. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That's not complicated. You don't have to run a marathon. You just simply receive the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for yourself. Then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice here, it's not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference between seeing the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and they are the same, because that's what the Lord told Nicodemus. If you're born from above, you will see the kingdom of God. But here, entrance into the coming kingdom has to do with doing the will of the Father or doing the will of God. If you don't do the will of God, you're not going to be rewarded with the blessings of entering into the blessings of the coming kingdom of our Lord. Colossians chapter 3 is a very important passage of Scripture because it tells us what the inheritance is. Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of" what? The inheritance. Inheritance is rewards based upon proper service, faithful service to the Lord. Service that is done from where? The heart, from the soul, from the place that God is honored because we are pleasing Him because of our volition. Why would God honor someone who is forced to please Him? He doesn't. He honors somebody who does it on their own volition. Now, it's very interesting that this admonition about entering in or having an inheritance in the coming kingdom is given to us three times in the Bible. Being repeated over and over and over again is to help it to stick. We've already read it in Galatians chapter 5. We find it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." And it lists all the sins of the flesh. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will be disinherited. They will have no rewards. In Ephesians chapter 5, which Ben read this morning, verses 3 through 5, it says, "But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ." If you're unclean, you are not sanctified. If you're unclean, you're not set apart. And you will lose your inheritance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 tells us, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we might be accepted of Him or well-pleasing to Him. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." He is not persuading lost men. He is persuading saved men to make sure your life is well-pleasing to God. Otherwise, you're going to receive for the evil that you have done. You will also receive reward for the good things that you have done. You will have an inheritance. But can you imagine the embarrassment of being at the judgment seat of Christ and seeing that your works are those of wood, hay, and stubble? They will be tested with fire. And your whole life can go up in smoke. And let me tell you, there is no fire insurance at the judgment seat of Christ. Some insurance company's not going to give it all back to you if God takes it away from you. And that's what can happen at the judgment seat of Christ. So we need to Be careful in setting our lives apart for God, that we can stand in His presence and hear, "Well done." That we have behaved ourselves and that we have kept ourselves from the sins of the flesh. Why are we doing this? Because we want a reward. We want an entrance into His coming kingdom. We do not want to be disinherited. Again, I want to assure you, you cannot be changed from a child of God to not being a child of God. Once you have the heavenly DNA, you always have that heavenly DNA, and you can believe that. Acts chapter 20, and with this we'll close. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance or reward among all them which are sanctified or set apart." May God help us to control our vessel so that we can separate ourselves from the works of the flesh, the sins and the evil of the world, and not become wrapped up in the things of the world, and that we can focus on doing His will and finishing His work just like Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ did not campaign for Caesar or for Augustus or anybody else. His business was rescuing people who were perishing. And we need to do the same thing. May the Lord help us to respond to His word this morning. Father, we just thank You for Your grace and Your strength and for Your word, Lord, that helps us in our walk with You. Help us, Lord, to separate ourselves from the works of the flesh. Help us, Father, to serve You well-pleasingly, and that one day we might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Bless the message to each of our hearts, that it might glorify the Father and the Son. For it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.